This is The Ascending Life with Pastor Josh Blevins of Grace Calvary Chapel.
1 Thessalonians starts off in chapter 1 with the context where Paul says in verse 10 that we are to wait for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, listen, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So Paul says the foundation of what I'm teaching you about is that there's wrath coming, but we are not appointed to that wrath. Rather, we are waiting for God's Son from heaven who will bring us rescue and salvation.
There's a lot that we could be afraid of in the world today. And it feels like things are getting harder and scarier all the time. The news gets worse and the world feels darker. But the good news that Pastor Josh is bringing to us today is that God is sending his Son once again to rescue us. Because of this, we have nothing to fear. No matter how dark and frightening the world feels, we have a Savior. He came to earth as a human, died, was resurrected, lives inside of us now, and he will come again. Now, here's Pastor Josh in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as he begins his message, The Christian's Future.
Turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as we continue our study through 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read together. As we approach this chapter, it's 17 verses. We are taking our time, but the reason being is that what we're doing in this book is laying a foundation for what we really believe regarding the end times and the return of Jesus Christ and the gathering of the saints together with him in the air, which is our blessed hope. And so this is why we're digging deep. I'm warning you, it's going to feel more like a college course than a sermon this morning, okay? I know some of you students are like, I just came from college. No, don't worry. I had one person leave first service said, well, I think I'm a little more confused than when I came. So that's exactly what I'm ready to hear going into second service. So, although I just think the Holy Spirit will speak and encourage us this morning, mainly because it's his word. And my wife asked me this week, she saw some news article and she said, what do you think about this news article? And my response was, you know, I don't know who to believe or not to believe anymore, but I trust this because I know that God is true. What a chapter. Sometimes when I teach the Bible, I feel like I'm an astronomer who is trying to fit the expanse of the universe in a 30-minute presentation. And today's message is one of those times. We come to this chapter, we're going to spend, again, just literally almost word by word, verse by verse, tackling this passage. And as we do, we're going to be talking this morning about the gathering together of the saints to the Lord in the clouds. And before we even get started, there in verse 1 and 2, let's just look at that together. Notice the context in which Paul is writing to this church. He says, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled. That means to be alarmed and confused or worried and anxious, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. So before we even talk about this day and before we talk about these events, we need to understand that the context is actually not all that different from the context that we find in many Christian circles today. That there was eschatological confusion. And if that word's big to you, eschatology just means the study of the last things or the end times. The revelation of Jesus Christ at the end of the age. And apparently, even back then, there were people who were listening to the wrong podcast, watching the wrong YouTube videos, reading the wrong Facebook posts, and listening to the wrong sermons regarding the end times. And therefore, what ended up being the result is that they were worried and they were confused because there were people who were coming, even forging Paul's name on letters that they wrote, trying to confuse people's minds about the day of the Lord, the great tribulation, and the gathering of the saints together with Jesus. And as a result of this confusion, people were becoming afraid and anxious and hopeless. Where Paul says, if you actually gain a correct view and understanding of the last things of the coming of Christ, then confusion and fear are not the result. Actually, it's comfort and hope that you are excited about what the future holds for you because of the promises of Jesus. There were people in the early church who were having prophetic visions and making drastic and unfounded claims about dates and hours and times, and even, again, forging Paul's signature in order to shake up the boat and control people. And now, today, we look at this and go, you know, there is still a lot of confusion out there, a lot of worry, a lot of fear about the things that people see happening around them. And so the Word of God anchors us back into the truth. And he starts off in verse 1 by introducing what has become a great debate within the church. Paul there mentions, now brethren, I might want you to note that it is to the brethren that this, I believe this event that Paul is going to discuss is having to do with the church, with those who are in Christ. I'll touch on more in a moment. But he says, concerning, so I'm writing to you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you might want to underline that word, and are gathering together with him. And here is where the debate starts in this, what is arguably one of the most complex, misunderstood chapters in the entire New Testament. Even Peter, remember Peter said, Paul writes about things that are sometimes confusing. This is like one of the most among the church, in the church circles today. And so what we have to ask ourselves, is Paul talking about two events, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and are being gathered together to him, or is he talking about one event that is simultaneously taking place, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the same time are gathering up together to be with him? Why does this matter? Because it has to do with the timing of when this event that I'm going to discuss, the rapture, we call it, takes place. And so we need to understand the complexity of how the sentence is structured. A Greek scholar, PhD Robert Hibbert, points out this about the language in this passage. He says, the government of the two nouns, right, coming and gathering, under one article, makes it clear that one event viewed under two complementary aspects is thought of. So what he's saying is Paul is describing the umbrella of one major event, but he's describing two aspects of that season or that period of time. Maybe imagine it like this. If I looked at you and said, regarding our weekend vacation at Disney World and our flights to Florida. And then I talk to you about this, okay? Which, by the way, unless you want to spend $10 million for a letdown, do something else with your vacation time, okay? Coming from a Disneyland guy, clearly. Don't send me emails. Josh, you know, I love Disney, and just relax. But if I said that, right, concerning our weekend getaway to Disney World and our flights to Florida. You understand, I'm talking about our vacation. Under the umbrella of our vacation, I'm talking about two separate events that happen at two distinct times that all make up this vacation. And what Paul is really saying here is there's confusion about a couple of events going on. The confusion lies in that there is a gathering together of the saints, and there is a coming to the earth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what these people had been told by some is you missed the gathering together, and now you are in this period of God's wrath and judgment on the earth that will culminate in his coming. And you could imagine the anxiety or the fear or the hopelessness that some might feel if they actually believed that Jesus Christ failed to return for them and now is judging the world. And that is the confusion that set in. And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking mainly about two points. In this passage, verses 1 through 4, Paul talks about 2 days. The first I call the day of desire. And the second is called the day of destruction. And so this morning, we're going to focus our hearts on the day of desire, or what we would call the rapture. We're going to circle and focus in on this phrase, our gathering together with the Lord. This is what Paul introduces, regarding our gathering together with the Lord. Before we dig into this first point, we need to understand what Paul says in verse 5. Would you look at verse 5? where Paul says, "Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things?" Now, the people who were reading that letter would have said, "Yeah, I remember." Unfortunately for us, we weren't there. I wish I could have been there when Paul gave the message to the church at Thessalonica regarding all these things that he is now reviewing. But what we do have is we have a first letter to the same church, don't we? Where he does describe the context of now what he's going to dive further into. And so really quickly, an overview of that context from 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians starts off in chapter 1 with the context where Paul says in verse 10 that we are to wait for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, listen, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So Paul says, the foundation of what I'm teaching you about is that there's wrath coming, but we are not appointed to that wrath. Rather, we are waiting for God's Son from heaven, who will bring us rescue and salvation. And then in chapter 4, he goes on to describe an event where Jesus comes, and we're going to talk about this in a moment, in the clouds of heaven, and the dead in Christ are resurrected to their resurrected body at the same time as they're coming with Jesus. Really amazing truth there. We who are alive and remain at the coming of Christ are caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and forever we will be with the Lord. And so he describes this event that we call the rapture, this gathering together of the saints. And then in chapter 5, he then introduces another season called the Day of the Lord. And this Day of the Lord is characterized by sudden destruction and the wrath of God coming like a thief in the night to an unexpected world. But not to the Christian, for the Christian does not walk in the night, but walking in the day, is aware of the times and seasons in which they live, and they are prepared to be with the Lord. And he closes chapter 5 in the similar way he opened chapter 1 by saying, "God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort and edify one another, just as you are also doing." So he goes to say, this day of the Lord, this wrath that's coming on the earth, we know that you are not appointed to that, but rather to obtain salvation on this time that Christ appears, and this should provide great hope and comfort to you. So back to 2 Thessalonians, he is now elaborating on this gathering together. The word gathering together in verse 1, chapter 2, is a Greek word that I will not try to pronounce again. But it means the call of an assembly to one place. It's much like what we're doing today, except that it's a call. It would be reflective of someone who makes a declaration to a group of people to bring them all together in one place and in one time. Describing the same event in 1 Thessalonians and in 1 Corinthians, Paul uses the word caught up. You might have heard some people say to you, "Well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. You can't find that anywhere." Well, technically that's true, but the word caught up, translated in the Greek, harpazo, is translated into the Latin Vulgate, rapturo, and which means in the English, raptured or to be snatched away. And so that's where we get this idea when Paul describes this twice in two places, that the believers are snatched away, are caught up together to be gathered in one place and at one time to be with the Lord. Now, as a way of history here, there are those who in the church that don't believe in the rapture at all. I'm not going to touch on that today. I will get into too much confusing territory. But among premillennialists, and what does that mean, Josh? Premillennialist is someone who believes that Christ, that we are living in a time that is premillennial, that is before Jesus Christ returns and establishes his physical kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years and makes everything wrong right again. And I tell you what, every day I live here, the more excited I get about King Jesus coming back and being in charge. So among those who are premillennial, there are four prevalent views regarding the timing of the rapture or the snatching or the gathering of the saints to the Lord. There are those who believe in a post-tribulation rapture. And that simply means that they believe that the church will live through the final 7-year history period of the earth, where God's wrath is poured out on the earth. They will live in that time. And at the same time Jesus returns, he will rapture them after that tribulation period. There are those who believe in what is called a mid-tribulation view. And they believe that the rapture occurs directly at the 3.5-year mark when the Antichrist declares himself to be God in the temple. And Jesus Christ at that point will rescue his church from the bowls of judgment. And then there are the pre-tribulationists. That is a view that we hold here at this church. That is a view I'm going to try to expound on this morning, where we believe that Jesus Christ has not appointed the church to wrath or to endure his judgment on the earth, but will come and take away his church, gather them together to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then at that point will begin his judgments upon the earth, ultimately culminating in his second coming, where the saints will come with him back to the earth as he comes to judge. And then there is a fourth view called the pre-wrath view, and that simply is a belief that God's wrath doesn't actually start until the midpoint of the tribulation period, so the church could be raptured at any point in between the beginning and the midpoint of the tribulation period. Okay, now that I've given you all that, it's important to say that there are some strong biblical arguments on each of these cases. There are some questions left unanswered with each of these cases, okay? So why I feel a strong conviction about my belief and about where I've landed on this, strong enough to speak it to you confidently, I do understand that there are some valid points. I think the main important thing is that we do believe that Jesus Christ is going to return for his church. He's coming back for us. I believe there are implications now to when you believe that is. And I believe it is most important for the church to live with an anticipation of the imminency of Christ's return. On top of that, there are some who claim that the pre-trib view is only came upon the scene in the 18th century through some Puritan teachers and, you know, Darby and Schofield, and this didn't ever exist in church history, but that's not true at all. It's, first of all, the most important question, is it biblical? Second of all, there's at least six sources from 100 AD to 400 AD that describe in detail the snatching away or the gathering of the church before the tribulation period from various authors, such as Irenaeus, the Didache, the teaching of the apostles, Pseudo-Ephraim. Listen to what he says, 400 AD. All the saints and the elect of God are gathered before the great tribulation which is to come and are taken to the Lord in order that they may not see any time the confusion which overwhelms the world because of our sins. So this was a common belief, even in the early church, and I believe among Paul and the apostles. So five things about the rapture that I think will be helpful. Number one, jot it down. The rapture is a promise of Jesus. The rapture is a promise of Jesus. Would you grab your Bibles and just flip backwards one book to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 13, Paul says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." First thing I notice about this topic of the rapture is a lot of people avoid talking about it because it's divisive or it's too hard to understand. Yet it's God's very word that says, this is something you have to know about. Even if you can't get it all figured out, you have to try because it's important. "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep," that is those who have died, "lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." That phrase, "I say this to you by the word of the Lord." In other words, is Paul about to give his own opinion? No. Is Paul about to give some tradition of teaching? No. Is Paul about to give some rabbinic, you know, opinion? No. Paul is giving the word of the Lord. This is what Jesus taught. This is what God has communicated to me as an apostle. What is it? "That those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Notice This is a promise. I mentioned by the word of the Lord. It, of course, comes from the promise that Jesus gave his disciples before he ascended to heaven. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I not have told you, I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This is the heart of Jesus for his church. He wants us to be with him forever. And of course, if we die in this lifetime without seeing him descending in the heavens and the clouds, we will be with him. And that's a promise, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But the good news for the church is whether you wake or you sleep, you live or you die, you will either see the Lord's, you will either see the rapture from the earth up or from the heavens down. Because it's going to happen. That's a promise that Jesus has made. And notice the form of the rapture. Why do I mention the form of the rapture? Because when you describe the rapture event, when Paul describes the rapture event, it's distinctly different from the biblical descriptions of the second coming of Christ. Different whole sets of things that take place, different context. Number one, notice that Paul says in there in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, that the Lord himself will descend. And he puts an emphasis on the Lord himself. In other words, he's saying there's a personal aspect to the Lord's gathering together of his church. The Lord is coming personally, and he will call, snatch, gather his people to himself. Yet in Mark 13 and Matthew 24, when Jesus discusses his second coming, he says that the Son of Man will send forth the angels from heaven to gather the elect from the four corners of the earth. Who are the elect? I believe the 144,000 Jewish witnesses that are alive during the tribulation, and those who are called tribulation saints, who endure the wrath of the Antichrist, having believed the testimony of Christ during that time. God will send the angels to gather them before he comes with his wrath. But in the rapture, the Lord himself descends, and the Lord himself calls, and the Lord himself gathers the church. And then notice the form here is with a loud voice or a shout. The word means a command, a commanding shout. The shout and the voice of an archangel. Now, scholars disagree here. Is it actually an archangel, like Michael the archangel, announcing the appearing of Jesus? Or is it the sound like an archangel would have with the voice? We don't know for sure. And the trumpet of God. Here's one thing that I believe this indicates to us, that the rapture will be a very loud event. A very loud event. You guys remember when Paul the apostle, when he was Saul, the Christian killer, he was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus appears to him in a vision and knocks him down and blinds him and speaks to him, "Saul, Saul, you know, why are you kicking against the goads?" And in his testimony, he said, "And those who were with me heard the sound, but they didn't see anything." I think that is, in general, how the rapture will be. I think, you know, we have all this talk about UFO investigations, and, you know, it's like half the world is just waiting for some alien invasion.
That's all the time we have on today's edition of The Ascending Life with Pastor Josh. Thanks for tuning in. Just as Paul encouraged those in Thessalonica, we pray that this teaching from the book of 2 Thessalonians has encouraged you to stand firm in your faith. If this teaching blessed you in any way, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 816-279-2090 and let us know more about you and how we can join you in prayer. That number again is 816-279-2090, or you can connect with us at theascendinglife.com. We're so glad you've been listening today to The Ascending Life. But we want to make sure that this isn't your only source of spiritual nourishment. The Bible urges all of us to get involved in a local church, not just for the benefit of the body of Christ, but also for your growth on your own faith journey. If you live in or are visiting the St. Joseph area, we'd like to personally invite you to join us at Grace Calvary Church. We meet each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 a.m., and we'd love to have you join us. You can expect a time of fellowship, including worship and Bible study. For directions and more about Grace Calvary Church, visit our website at theascendinglife.com. We hope to see you there. Our time with you today is coming to a close, but we're so glad you tuned in to today's message from 2 Thessalonians. Be sure to join Pastor Josh next time to learn more from God's Word right here on The Ascending Life. We're reaching up, we're pressing